HarperCollins presents The Girl from the Island by Lorna Cook, read by Charlotte Newton-John.
Prologue. Guernsey, Channel Islands, 1945. There is a fine line between love and hate. She had tried not to cross that line, invisible as it was, but since the Germans came, she knew she had. She stood in the harbour of St. Peter Port and looked up at the town, the shops and hotels along the waterfront, the small houses nestled together in the distance. Only a few months after the liberation of her island, she breathed in the cool air of the place she'd always called home. It looked so different now, but so much was the same since the Nazis came. Since the Nazis left. She passed along the harbour. The swastikas were gone, along with the occupying force that had placed them there. The street signs, crude wooden structures made to inform the Germans where things were in their own language, had been taken down. At first glance, it was almost as if the war had never happened on this small stretch of the British Isles, almost as if the Germans had never been here. Except, of course, they had. And what they had left behind were the enormous concrete fortifications, grey scars on the landscape, that stark reminder that the Channel Islands had been part of Hitler's Atlantic Wall, part of his island madness. But what the Nazis had left behind could never compare to what they had taken. Passengers were disembarking from a ferry boat, tourists mostly, tentatively setting foot back in the Channel Islands, back for its famous sand, its enviable sun. She was pleased the Channel Islands once again might be seen as a glorious holiday destination, the memory of what had passed in the war bleached away with the sunshine. But that wasn't what she saw. She wondered how long it would be before she could see it that way again, how long before she would forget. There were some things she would never forget, such as the power of a letter. Such an innocent thing, a piece of paper, but it held so much power. Others had written similar letters, she knew that. She'd heard whispers that during the occupation, the island's post office workers had steamed open envelopes addressed to the Germans, knowing full well that what was inside would condemn someone. A note that there was a radio hidden under floorboards here, a gun stashed in an attic there. The power a letter held, the damage it could do. No, she knew she would never forget that. Chapter 1. Guernsey, Spring 2016. The short flight hadn't been long enough to drink the miniature bottle of warm wine bought when the drink service had eventually reached her at the back of the plane. Lucy had only drunk half of it by the time the captain told crew to prepare the cabin for landing, so she screwed the lid back on the bottle and put it inside her bag. She'd see her older sister Clara in a matter of minutes. She might need to save the remaining half for that ordeal. It was only half an hour in the air from London, but Guernsey felt a whole lifetime away. Perhaps that's what being far from home did to you after years away, gave you a false sense of time and distance. It had been too long, she knew that, but there'd always been a valid reason why she couldn't return, and on the occasion she had, it had only ever been for a night, and then she'd always had to go back to the mainland the next day. Lucy thought back. Perhaps it had been 3 years, maybe four, since she'd been to Guernsey. Her niece's christening, that was the last time she'd been back. And before that, it was Clara's wedding a few years prior, although she'd seen them all when they'd come across visiting her on the mainland. Only official events that came with expectant invitations attached had the power to draw Lucy back to Guernsey. But now, the reason to return was merely logistical. A funeral to arrange for an elderly relative Lucy barely remembered, and an uninhabited house to sell. No matter how hard she thought back to family events over years gone by, memories would barely surface of her elderly first cousin once removed, Dido. Of course, Dido hadn't been elderly when Lucy had been young, but she had always seemed it. Once the upcoming funeral was over, Lucy, for once, wouldn't be leaving in less than 24 hours. Clara had instructed Lucy to stay and hear the will read, help Clara sort out Dido's affairs and get the house ready to go on the market on behalf of their father, Dido's nearest relation, who would inherit the bulk of the estate. Then, and only then, according to Clara, was Lucy permitted to get off the island and return to the mainland. Lucy's mum and dad had hot-footed it to warmer climes last year after retirement. They'd bought a house in Barbados and kissed goodbye to the Channel Island where they'd lived their whole lives, which did rather leave Lucy and Clara to fend for themselves.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?